Welcome to another episode of Stunt Stories. I'm Corey Eubanks, and with me today, you know, I keep saying I got a special guest. This is a special, special guest. This young man has changed my life in multiple ways. He married my beautiful daughter, Tyler, and gave me two unbelievably gorgeous, gorgeous grandchildren. But this man has been a professional stuntman for a long time, even though he's very young. He's been around he's a second generation stuntman. He's worked on shows like Criminal Minds and feature films like Need for Speed and the TV shows Sons of Anarchy and Iron Man 2, The Lone Ranger, Transformers, Straight Out of Compton, Chips, Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw, Six Underground, SWAT, The Rookie, the soon-to-be-released Ambulance movie. He's done more TV shows and feature films than I could tell you guys. I'd use the whole hour just telling you about this man's resume. My son-in-law, Logan Holiday. Logan, thank you so much for being on Stunt Stories.
Thank you, Corey. I'm happy to be here talking with you.
Hey, just so you know, I do have your IMDb page open in front of me, so I might test your memory bank every once in a while by asking you just, hey, so how was it working on, Horrible Bosses 2? And you're going to have to go, oh my gosh, go back to that
for a
while, you know? But
yeah, that would be great because you know how it is. Like, I forget what I've even worked on. It's when people ask, sometimes I could only come up with three or four answers just because it's you go from show to show to show to show and you kind of shut down from the last one and go to the next one. I forget what I've even done.
You know what? It's funny is I look at some of the titles of the films that you've worked on, and I'm like Straight Out of Compton, and I'm like, I worked on Straight Out of Compton, but I never remember seeing Logan. What did you do on that movie?
I did a second unit with Lynn Oding. He was directing second unit. I brought some camera bikes out, and Dan Bilzerian, the Instagram famous guy, he brought out one of his Lamborghinis to make kind of. I don't even think it made the movie actually, but the old white Lamborghini that Dr. Dre drove in that, they brought a brand new one out and did some sort of new variation of that same car chase. And I think it just went straight to the trash, but we shot it for a week and it was fun. And so that's why we didn't see each other. We were doing separate things.
Oh, okay. I remember being out there at the parking lot at Magic Mountain with Lynn and that Dan guy was there. I didn't know who he was. And some guys, yeah, he's like a billionaire or something. But
well, then we were both there.
Was that out there that night doing the testing? We were just doing some testing, some rehearsals.
Yeah, and there was a camera bike, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me on the camera bike. Okay. How funny, right? I don't remember you being there.
Hey, my excuse card, I go, yeah, well, I've had 14 concussions. That's always my out. And I say, okay, we'll let you off for forgetting.
Right. Yeah. I haven't had that many, but I've had a few, mostly all from the racing world. And, sometimes I think it makes a difference.
Yeah. Racing world. My God. I don't know that many people, know that, you know, your background in racing motorcycles is incredible. And wasn't it the Baja 1000 that you won?
Yeah. I think 11 years ago now, 2011, I won the Baja 1000 overall for, the factory Honda team with my teammates, Kendall Norman and Quinn Cody. And yeah, I guess maybe these days a lot of people don't know that's my background is in racing just because that's how I started. And then now I've just transitioned into just being this motorcycle stuntman and a car stuntman, kind of do everything else, but mostly just motorsports. But I started this whole career as a stuntman from the racing world and a little help from my dad also being a stuntman as well.
Yeah, your dad. I mean, what a legend. Steve Holiday. When you mention that name, people just go, oh my God. And they immediately jump back to the Days of Thunder movie. He did that incredible crash. And I've worked with your pops many times. And what a wonderful man he is. And I remember one time, Logan, you were just a little kid. I forget what TV show it was or film, whatever. And we were downtown Los Angeles and you were helping your dad unload one of those camera bikes that he had. And I, you know, never would have guessed that, you know, you would grow up and end up marrying my daughter and have children together. And it's just, you just never know, man. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? That's always a funny story when it gets brought up around people because people automatically think, because my dad was a stuntman and you're a stuntman and you guys knew each other for a very long time before I ever knew your daughter, Tyler, that's how we met. But it has nothing to do with it. We just grew up in the same town. We had the same friends, and then we met that way. And it just turns out that our dads do the same thing. So, and it works out great, because then when we go on these locations and she understands this business from seeing you doing it forever. So she's okay with going to another country for a couple months with me, or wherever it is that we may go, or those long, long days where you can't answer the phone all day. She totally understands.
Yeah. Thank God for that. Because, you know, I've had this, I had my last guests that were on was, Casey O'Neill and Kimberly Murphy, his wife. And I said, it's gotta be stressful for, I know it is, for a couple that, doesn't fully understand how the entertainment business can interfere with a relationship, and it's consistently inconsistent. You don't know if your phone's going to ring today and you're going to go back to another foreign country for another month and a half, you know, or how many nights you're going to work next week on a show. And cause you work a lot, you work all the time. And I think that's only because you've got so much talent that's needed, you know?
Oh gosh. Thank you. I've just been fooling them long enough, right?
Well, you know, I've always said that the transition from motorcycle racers to driving cars, those are where the best stunt drivers come from, it seems, because I don't know why. What do you contribute that to? Is it from throttle control or braking traction, or what do you think?
You know, yeah, I think it's got a lot to do with, you know, I've been riding motorcycles since I was 2, racing them since I was 5. So I have a very good understanding of throttle control, braking, weight balance, and shifting your weight, all the aspects it takes to ride a motorcycle. And the dangerous side is you're sitting on the motorcycle. So when you can just get thrown off at any time and get hurt. When you get into a car, it's all the same fundamentals, but way, way safer. It's more, you know, more chances than not, the worst thing that could happen is you just hurt the car. And so once you learn the car and take all your motorcycle background and technique and bring that into the car thing, it's very much the same. It's still sliding something, still burning out, you know, braking, all that kind of stuff. So it just takes a little bit of practice at the beginning and getting comfortable with it. I've also raced some cars a little bit and had a drift car and all that stuff to be able to get to the point where I am now. And then the car thing becomes very comfortable. I'm actually more comfortable in cars than motorcycles these days.
Oh, I believe it. I still remember not too long ago, maybe a couple seasons back on SWAT, you and I were working for Charlie Brewer and Austin Brewer. We were downtown Hollywood. It seems so contrived. Yeah, Hollywood. But we were
somewhere down there.
Yeah. And we were doing a car chase. You were chasing or following me, and we had to slide a couple corners, and Charlie's like, yeah, guys, come in hot. And I remember coming in and pitching this vehicle sideways. I'm sliding through the intersection, and I look in my rear view mirror, and Logan, they should have had a camera on the mirror to see you. You did the most beautiful sideways slide drift, just huge, just peeling out. It was like, I'm like, oh my God, look at that. That is so cool. And I'm like, I look forward and I'm like, oh my God, Corey, you're going toward the curb. You better pay attention. You almost made me crash because I was so in awe of what you were doing.
That was a really fun couple of days. I look back at that job, and that was definitely, you know, a really fun one. It's not like we did any big crashes or any spectacular wrecks or anything like that, but sometimes I think the car control jobs like that, where we're coming in really fast, sliding around corners, getting close to whatever it may be, those are the most fun. And then doing it with you too, drifting around corners all day long for 2 days. That was a privilege for sure.
That was a fun, fun day. Hey, how was it for you working? You've done a couple of films now, I think, or a couple of times you've worked with Michael Bay. Can you share any stories about what that was like?
Yeah, I love him. You know, he's wild and crazy. And as long as you are on your game and you got it together, then he's, you know, you're his friend. Like it's when you're unprepared or unsure about yourself or unsure about your answers, or you can't handle when he gets really excited and starts yelling and screaming, and you buckle under that pressure, that's when you get fired immediately. But if you can handle all that pressure, then you get put in some really amazing spots. I mean, I've been able to do Six Underground with Greg Smurs, coordinated that one. That was my first movie with him. It was so much fun. We slid cars around Italy for 2 months. We did Rome, Florence, Italy, Siena over in Tuscany, and slid cars and flipped them and cannons and pipe ramps and all that stuff for 2 months straight. And then we did Ambulance a couple years later. And as soon as I walked on set, I just got hired by Mike Gunther. Mike Gunther's a friend of mine. And as soon as I walked on set, he noticed me and he goes, "Oh, I remember you. You were on Six Underground in Italy." And from that moment on, for the next month on that show, I was in the top-notch car and truck and sliding around everything, right up in the front, leading the pack, like got to do some of the most fun stunts, I think, you know, like aren't always the crashes, like I was saying. It's the precision, high-speed drifting and sliding. I love that stuff.
Yeah, I heard you became his go-to guy.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, he has his go-to guys like Kyle Wood, and, you know, those guys are his coordinators and Mike Johnson and all those guys. But I definitely was right up in there and getting to do, you know, what I like about those movies is unlike other shows where the intensity can kind of be low and you know, there's lots of downtime. On his movies, there's no downtime. You go from sun up till sundown. And you shoot as many shots as you can possibly shoot every day. You have high horsepower, really nice cars, and you get to do the most with them, where that doesn't really happen that often, where you get that liberty to give it everything it has. And we're talking like it on the first take, not even knowing where you're going. If you don't give it 110%, you might as well just get in your truck and go home because you're going to be worthless to them.
Yep, that is so true.
But I like that. You know, I've done a lot of races where you don't get to see the race course beforehand. You just have to go race it. And that's the first time you ever see it. So I drive what I could see. If there's people around, you be careful. But I like coming in there and giving it everything right off the bat to the very last pick. And you don't ever get in trouble for going too big on those shows. You know, if anything, you get in trouble for wimping out. So. His movies are honestly my favorite movies to work on.
I agree. I've done 6 feature films with that man and have enjoyed it every time. It's intense. Your adrenaline's always pumping. I've always said my analogy was, it's like playing in the Super Bowl, I guess. You know, it's like, I've never played in the Super Bowl, obviously, but I compare it to that, the intensity. It's like everything's on the line. You've got to give it everything you've got. And like you're saying, if you hanging out there on the edge and maybe clip something or make a mistake, he doesn't care because you're like, you were going for it. I remember talking to him also about Ilya Popov has this car that they invented that is like a motion capture vehicle. You could adjust the width. And I'm telling Michael Bay this. I go, you can adjust the width of the wheelbase, the length, the height. I go, and then in post-production, you can click a button and make that vehicle become anything you want. It could be a Bugatti. It could be a Ford, whatever. It could be any kind of vehicle. He goes, I would never not shoot practical cars. They got to be real cars on my set. And I'm like, I love That's you. I love you.
Yeah, I like that rig that Ilya has. But then again, it also kind of takes away days of work. If it becomes, you know, like if you use that for 5 different cars, that was 4 other jobs you could add.
Well, that's true. You know what? I didn't look at it that way. That's true too. Hey, let me ask you this. you back in not too long ago, before you had children, you were going for it and you're full throttle and you're just hanging it out there. Have you felt, have you felt you're trying to now be a little bit more safe or more concerned about what stunts you do because of your children, or do you just kind of set that out of your mind?
I've always been, you know, had that scared feeling. And where you try to, you know, you're doing everything you do to give it everything, but you want to be safe. I've kind of always had that. It hasn't really changed since I've had kids. I still do the same stuff. I mean, I won't go out riding on Monday if I got a job on Tuesday, that kind of thing now, where I used to do that. But I've always had a little bit of that, like, cautiousness where I want to give it everything and I want it to be as big and spectacular. I just want, I just, I'm, there's some stuntmen out there for sure that are just bring it no matter what happens. I'm not one of them. I like to really try to calculate this stuff and make it so I can go do it again the next day and the next day and the next day and just keep it going. That's why I think probably why I've managed to be successful and work a lot is I can navigate through that and I'm scared, you know, like it's not like just because we're stuntmen, we're not afraid of anything or,
yeah, we're,
know,
not daredevils. Fearless. We're always afraid.
Yeah. I'm afraid of a lot. I just like to do this stuff because it's really fun and gives me an adrenaline rush and you can make great money doing it, but it totally scares me. So I think that's a good attribute that it's, you know, you're not fearless. Like I fear this stuff, but I like doing it. So it keeps me safe.
You know, the other thing that makes you very unique amongst all of the stunt, your peers, is you were exposed to the film and television industry way before the majority of your peers. I mean, you were just a little kid watching your dad being on set. So you have really, at the young age that you are, you know, you're not an old guy, you're a young man, but you've really already seen the way the business has changed. Give us an example in your opinion of how the film and television industry has changed.
Yeah, you know, I think it's changed that there are so many more shows out there. There's a lot of shows that have less stunt hires on them now. You know, it's much more rare to have a really big group on a show, but there's also a lot more shows. So there's a ton of little stuff you could do all the time and mix in the big stuff in with it as well. It's still the movie industry. It's still the circus. And, you know, I'm not really sure how to answer that because up till I was 18 years old too, I didn't even think about this business or want to do it. I just wanted to race motorcycles. And I just transitioned into doing stunts from racing motorcycles because I started getting some commercials from the racing thing only, just not the stunt thing. So, for me, it's always been great. You know, people have some negative outlooks and they think, oh, it's falling apart and this and that. There's not going to be stuntmen here shortly, but I don't know. I think it's pretty good and it's going to be good for a long time. I'm not sure if I want my kids to do it, but, to me, since the day I started 15 years ago, you know, I started way before that when I actually got my SAG card, but I really didn't become a stuntman like 14 till about 14, 15 years ago. It's always been great. And it's been a slow incline getting better and better and better just because you get more experience and you get into those better spots. If you're on the sidelines not working, I can see why you might think that it's falling apart, but it's still a great place to earn a living.
Hey, let me ask you something. For someone who has so much knowledge and a reputation for motorcycles and for cars, and what the hell did you do on the Lone Ranger? Because I don't remember seeing any motorcycles or what did you do?
Tom Harper just hired me on that one just to be one of the guys. I was just out there running around shooting guns. I shot the Gatling gun. So like one of those old school machine guns where you crank it.
Oh, no kidding.
It's on a big stand. Yeah, I was just the Gatling gun shooting guy for one of the scenes and running around getting shot, taking bullet hits, you know. So, you know, we do all those jobs as well in between all the other motorsport stuff that I know you do. Most of the cards as well, you know.
So you must have felt more at home or like just like very, yeah, at home doing Need for Speed. What did you do on that movie?
I was one of the guys in the classic car chase that got, you know, started the race, slid around some corners and out when a train went by. I stepped in here and there, drove just about every car. And then lots of Indy, lots of other, you know, I just kind of was one of the guys that was everywhere. I would step in if one of the guys, like if Tanner Faust stepped out one day, I got into Mustang and did a bunch of slaloming through the cars one day. And then he got back in, finished that whole deal. And then, I would, you know, step in for people during the drag races. I was just one of the key drivers, you know, sometimes when you're on a show, you don't really have an exact place, but you're just one of the key guys that they go to when they need somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. So you kind of just, you were all over the place. What did you do on Chips?
Chips, I did camera bikes. Oh, okay. Regis Harrington has a solo camera bike. It's an electric motorcycle. And I forget what he was doing, but Dave Castillo normally rides it, and he was doubling one of the guys. And they needed someone to be able to rip through traffic at 70, 80 miles an hour on the freeway with them and through all the downtown LA streets. And so usually I'm one of those guys that's on the bike in front of the camera doing that stuff. But because I'm normally doing that and used to that high rate of speed, I got put in the spot to ride the camera bike, so that way the camera can keep up and be able to get the shot.
That makes perfect sense. Hey, you've also worked, I don't know if it's a TV show or if it's a feature film, but it's called Logan.
Oh, that's Wolverine, Logan. Feature film.
What did you do on that?
I drove the, you know, the movie Logan, Wolverine.
Yes.
It's a comic book thing. So I was one of the many drivers that drove the limo. It's this really cool, it looked from the outside like a, I think it was like a old Cadillac or something, but the internals of it, it was full tube chassis with a LS3 Corvette motor center mounted in it. Seemed as though it had drift spindles on it. The thing would turn so sharp, and I slid it around the desert out in New Mexico a bunch and blasted through some chain link fences, and then also rode motorcycles out there on that. I was in the chase where they're ripping through the desert with the motorcycles and the limo. I was driving the limo. I was also on a motorcycle. I was also a Jeep smashing into the limo.
Gosh, you were all over the place.
You know how sometimes when you shoot this stuff and you shoot it for so many days over and over, but it's really only a 5-minute piece of the movie, that you can be almost everybody. Where I was the guy in the limo, and I was hitting myself in the limo. But when I was hitting the limo, it was Stan Barrett driving the limo. And then when I was hitting it, I was in a big lifted Jeep with Jake Swallow in the back shooting a gun out the side. And Garrett Warren's telling us to smack into the thing. He's like, that's not hard enough. We smack into it harder. That's not hard enough. Hit it harder. I'm hitting him so hard. My Jeep's going up on two wheels. Every time I hit him, I'm throwing Jake down on the side, smashing his ribs against the roll cage.
Oh, God.
To the point to where they saw him take such a big slam. They got on the radio. They go, hey, Jake, we're going to have to replace you. We're putting somebody else in there. And he scrambles for my radio. Give me your radio, Logan. He goes, I'm not getting out of here. I'm good to go. Let's do another.
He's a tough son of a bitch, that guy. He is tough.
He had some bruised ribs after that one.
Oh.
And they're trying to get him, everybody's trying to get him to tie in as well. And we're hitting this limo so hard, the Jeep's going up on two wheels. You know, anything could happen. You could break a tie rod, something could, whatever. You could flip it. I go, Jake, don't tie in, dude. Be ready to jump because this thing could, we could lose a wheel from hitting him so hard. And we're flipping, so you better get out of here if that happens.
Oh, God. That's some very solid advice. Hey, I see another movie that you and I worked on together, Horrible Bosses 2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't do anything on that one. That one was, I have so many movies that I've either done a lot of stunts on, or, you know, you show up and you're like an indie driver for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And so that was one of those ones. Just came out. I don't even remember what I did.
Sometimes I like that though. When you show up and you're like, okay, Corey, you're ND driver number 6. I'm like, yes, I'm number 6.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I'm just going to, okay.
after a little while you earn it. And that's how your income keeps going up. Right. Is you just get a bunch of those days mixed in with the really good ones.
Yeah. Hey, you seem to stay pretty busy on The Rookie.
Yeah. I've been working a lot on that. We got some stuff coming up here in a couple weeks too.
What did you do on Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Coordinate.
Oh, you did?
My good buddy of mine, Jimmy Sharp, he coordinates 5 shows at a time, give or take. And so I step in and will coordinate either days or episodes for him. So I did, I think I did a couple days on that one for him. And then we do a bunch of other stuff together, Apple TV show stuff. And those are all very easy shows.
So you have stunt coordinated before, and you enjoy that, being a stunt coordinator?
Yeah, you know, I've coordinated some commercials, TV shows. I've coordinated a movie as well, small movie, low budget. But I've had some opportunities recently to coordinate some pretty big stuff, and I this day and age right now, with my kids being 2.5 and 4.5, I'm not interested in leaving town for that long. You know, when you coordinate a big movie, you're gone for 6 months plus. And I don't, even if I could come home every weekend, I'm just not that interested in being away that much. My morale won't be good. I won't be happy with it. So yeah. I much rather in those positions recommend someone else that might want to coordinate it. And I'd be happy to come out and work for a couple of weeks. Because hey. Then I've kind of based my whole career off of not working on one movie for 6 months and then going to another one and just doing two movies a year. I'll work on 6 in 1 year and, you know, and then another 6 to 10 commercials and another, you know, 40 plus TV shows. Like that's what I kind of enjoy doing more is bouncing around and just picking on just one for a really long time.
I feel the same way. I know exactly what you're saying. Hey, I was working the other night on Mayans for Oakley Lehman, and we were reminiscing about the two motorcycle laydowns that you guys did in front of me when I was driving the van. Do you remember that?
On yeah.
Templin Highway?
The tandem. We did one a couple days earlier on those same road racing bikes. And then we went over to Templin Highway and we were doing that stacked up shot, making it look like you were running into us, but the camera was shooting long lens down your van to us. And so you made a big, we were so close behind you, we couldn't even see anything. It's hard to even hold a line when we were 2 feet off your bumper. And as soon as you make a hard right left, like a big move, like you're going to run into somebody, that's when I just throw it down. So as soon as you make that move, I throw my bike down, Oakley throws his bike down, and we go sliding down the road together.
Are you getting tired of doing motorcycle laydowns on the asphalt? At what point do you say, okay, that's enough?
You know, I've probably done 50 of them, and I'll do 50 more.
Wow.
Or 100 more.
That's a lot.
I've got it. I've been doing them since I started and done a lot of them.
Have you been
on every?
I was just saying, have you been injured? Have you been hurt at all on laying down motorcycles?
Knock on wood, no.
No kidding. Wow.
I feel like I've just got the formula down. You do it on any bike, any surface, anywhere. The speed, your friend, I like to always do them a little faster. I know exactly where to put the pads. I'm very comfortable with those. They scare the hell out of me.
Well, like
every
should.
Single time.
I mean, Logan.
Every single time I'm lined up to do it, I go, "Whoa, why am I doing this?" And then, and then as soon as I get up to speed and go and do it, everything, I'm like, "Oh yeah, I forgot. I've got that stunt pretty wired."
I mean, that is a real stunt. That there's no CGI. There's no. It's a heavy metal motorcycle slamming to the asphalt at 55, 60. When you guys come in, you're hauling ass. That's a real, I mean, that's where, you know, shit can go wrong real quick. But you, like you said, you've got this formula, you got a technique that works for you. It's been consistent. God bless you, man. That's because those things are just violent and dangerous. Speaking of that, it often when I meet someone, you're sitting next to someone on the airplane or something and conversation starts up. And so what do you do? Oh, what do you do? I go, I'm a stunt man. Oh my gosh. Really? Hey, what's the most dangerous stunt you've ever done? After they ask, what movie stars have you worked with? Right. Let me ask you, what do you think in your career, if someone said, hey, compile a list for us of the most dangerous stunts you've done, what would be your first one?
I don't even know. So,
how about 50 motorcycle laydowns?
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be my next thing I was going to say was a lot of them, like most of them are dangerous. We just, you know, you calculate and you find ways to escape that danger. But the most, I mean, I've jumped through walls of fire in cars, flipped cars, crashed motorcycles, all kinds of stuff, been on fire, you know, like they're all pretty dangerous.
Yeah, they
are. It'd be hard to say. I mean, maybe you feel the same. I can't say like there. This is the one.
No, there's a lot, and sometimes the ones that you think were the most dangerous are often the least impressive. It's like, really, that was the most dangerous thing you ever did? Like, it didn't sound.
Yeah, like sometimes the hardest hits, you don't travel very far and make a lot of movement, so to everybody else it doesn't look that bad. But those are the hardest of hits that could go wrong. Where the ones that, like, you know, like if you flip a car and it just keeps rolling down the road, it's not as bad as if you just stop.
Yeah.
You know, but it looks way more spectacular, and everybody else would tell you that was way, way riskier and scarier, but I would take those any day.
So
over just impact stops.
Yeah, absolutely. Disbursement of energy over a grid. That's why, like you were saying, speed is your friend. Hey, is there anything that you're working on currently or getting ready to do that?
Yeah. So over the last 10 years, I've done this thing called the Hooper Classic. Originally 10 years ago, Scotty Waugh came up with this idea that we were going to do this race and call it the Hooper Classic, after the movie Hooper, because the movie Hooper had like a lot of motorcycle car stunts. It was one of the first of its kind. So to bring back just with that cool name, the Hooper Classic is an XR100 stuntman only invitational race. And the first one was a huge hit. We invited everybody. It's an invite only type of thing. So we invite all of our friends from all of our stunt groups and everybody else that we could think of. And when I invite you, like if I invite you, I respect that whoever you invite is going to be someone that you respect that's going to be a good person to be out there. But we had probably 40 XR100s at the first event. You know, it's XR100s, TTR 110s, little like 125s, anything close. And we had a full on mini bike race with no rules. That's the number one rule of this event. There is no rules. We have a mini bike race. We have a mini bike team race. We have a big bike race. During the mini bike team race at the first one, there was two reservoirs at this track. There was a really big reservoir they'd use to water the track, and then a smaller reservoir that was used for the same thing. I thought the small reservoir was pretty small. So I told Eddie, the guy that runs the track, good friend of mine, and I go, hey, I'm not going to tell anybody, but on the start line of this race, I'm going to give you a radio. That way I can radio to you and tell you to break the dam with the dozer so that water comes rushing down through our mini bike track.
Was that at Zacha Station?
Yeah, that was at Zacha Station. And he goes, okay, cool. I'm in. So I called him on the radio. I go, Eddie, we're going to start the race right now. Break the dam. So he breaks the dam. We start the race. We get like two laps in before any water starts coming through. And then before you know it, the water is rushing through. It's like 2 inches, 4 inches, 6 inches, a foot, like 18 inches deep. And all of a sudden, before bikes are drowning out, guys are crashing in the water. It was so much more water than I anticipated. But that's kind of what made it cool. And nobody but me knew about it.
Oh, that's awesome. I was out there and watched that. I remember I was hanging out with David Ellis. And bless his heart. You know, man, I wish that man was still with us. What a great guy. I remember, because I didn't know that you and Tyler were even dating. I didn't even know that you guys even had a thing. And I remember Tyler was going to go get on a motorcycle and you were giving her pads. And she wanted to just go get on the bike. And you're like, no. And you went into your trailer and you got another pad to put on her elbow or something. And I'm like, look at that guy. He's concerned about my daughter getting hurt. I go, I love him. Why can't she be with him?
Well, that worked out.
Yeah. And that worked out. Hey, Logan, look, I don't want to take your whole morning. I really appreciate, I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for being on Stunt Stories. And what I'd like to do is maybe later on another episode, I could hit you up again and we could chat some more about your career.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'd love to come back anytime, whenever you want to have me.
All right, man. Thanks so much, you guys. And hey, everybody, thank you for listening to Stunt Stories. Logan, I'll talk to you later, buddy.
Real quick, before we're done, anybody that's listening, check out the Instagrams for Stunts Unlimited and check out the Instagram for the Hooper Classic or just Hooper Classic. and you could, it's a, you know, a secret event, but you might be able to get a little inside info there.
So that's an Instagram. It's not a website. Is that right?
Instagram accounts. Yes.
And so what do? They go to Instagram and they have to type in something.
Yeah. You just type in the Hooper Classic and that Instagram will come up, or you type in Stunts Unlimited or my Instagram, Logan Holiday. And you're going to be able to see what's kind of going on there. And if you're interested and you have an XR100, make sure you send me a message.
Awesome. All right, guys, you heard Logan. Do it. Logan, thanks, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, buddy. Talk soon.
And thank you for listening to Stunt Stories.